Good evening. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. Today is Thursday, December 4th, 2014, and the time is now 7:03 p.m. I am going to start the meeting off a little bit differently. We have a special guest here tonight that we'd like to honor. And I'd actually like to start off by recognizing Sherry Schechinger, one of our former Parks Advisory Board members. Sherry, would you mind rising and leading us all in the Pledge of Allegiance? Threw you for a loop on that one.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. Like I said, I'm going to shuffle things around a bit. I do want to start off by having this special recognition. We're joined here tonight by Sherry Schechinger, and her husband Joe's with her as well. Earlier this year, we regretfully accepted Sherry's resignation from the Parks Advisory Board. Those of you who follow these meetings know that there are always people coming and going from our boards and commissions. That's completely common. But at the time, I said it just doesn't feel right. Just regretfully accepting your resignation, and then we move on. I said, we need to do something a little bit more in Sherry's case. And I don't want to talk too long about it because I know Ron Kyle, our Parks Manager, and Mark Harmon, our Parks Advisory Board Chair, are going to say some words too. But, Sherry, I don't have enough time tonight to summarize everything that Sherry and Joe have done to help this community out. And we do have a nice award to present her in a little bit. But Sherry came on to our Parks Board, I want to say it was in 2010? 2010. It was right after we took office as trustees. And for those that maybe remember, it was kind of a transitional period. I think we were looking to inject a little bit more enthusiasm, excitement, some creativity into our parks planning. We had a parks planning group, if I'm not mistaken, that was kind of an offshoot of the Parks Advisory Board. And they came on, and Sherry was part of that, and there were different folks on there that divided up into, I guess, subcommittees, and they all took different aspects to review. And what they did was they helped put together an open space plan for the township. Not only that, but they came up with a lot of great ideas about new programming and just overall assessment of our needs. But, even beyond the work Sherry did on that, you can look at all the different events we've held in this township over the last 4 or 5 years. The Center Green Festival, the movie nights in particular, Sherry and Joe have been to all of those, not just been there, but helping to run the events. And beyond that, I know that they purchased a park bench, they purchased a canopy for our township to use at special events. And, I could go on and on, and I'm going to turn it over to Ron and Mark here to say a little bit more. But would you gentlemen mind coming up?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. It really is a pleasure to be here tonight to honor Sherry. She was such an integral part of the Parks Advisory Board. It was really a privilege for me to serve with her. She was on the board as long as I've been on the board. And like you said, she planned multiple events. She was tireless. And her husband, Joe, who's also here tonight, and their daughter, Claire, helped us at many, many events. And like I said, I am so happy that the township is expressing all of our appreciation to her. And really, what I want to say is on behalf of the Parks Advisory Board, we want to recognize your tireless dedication. And thank you for your service making Genoa Township a nice place to live. So on that note, take it away.
Thank you, Mark.
Ron Kyle, Park Manager here for Genoa Township, and trustees, honored guests. I cannot say enough about Sherry. I will repeat everything Mark said. That would be boring. But I can tell you that Sherry would never said no. Whenever she always was willing to go that extra mile, and I used to always tell her, I want to clone her. And she looked at me and she says, oh? And I realized that cloning her wouldn't do any good because there's only one Sherry. And she just is tireless for the township. She did everything she could, and makes me proud to be here. And everybody that she touched in the township, they liked her.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to turn this over to you folks again, but I want to say Sherry, Joe, Claire, it was a family affair because they were there all the time.
That's right.
And it was wonderful. Thank you, Sherry, thank Joe.
Sherry, I personally want to thank you for your efforts, and I specifically remember times, I think maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever at the fishing day, which is one of my favorites, and it was just nasty weather. But, you know, the amazing thing was we had still had people show up. You know, we couldn't go home early, but, you know, you were just so positive and cheerful, and you greeted everyone as if it was just the sunniest day going. And I think that is a real reflection of you and your sincerity of wanting people to enjoy the township, enjoy themselves. And we just sincerely appreciate it. I mean, we have 24,000 residents in this township, and you know, there's just such a small handful that get engaged to begin with, and then to have someone like you who takes it to that next level is really a privilege to work with you, and I appreciate that personally. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. As Ron said, you've always gone that extra mile, but with a smile. And it's so true. I mean, seeing you at various events, and I do remember that day, fishing day with, you know, rain and all this, and you were there and, you know, taking care of people and smiling. I thought, oh, wow. You're a very special person. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, and it's almost, we have these events now, and it's just routine at this point. But yeah, it's just like, okay, yeah, we're going to have fishing day. What days are going to be this year? Yeah, we're going to have three movie nights. Which dates? It's just a matter of setting dates. These events don't run themselves, and they certainly don't start themselves. I mean, it takes people that are willing to come out, give it their time and their talent, like you. And it makes this place a very special place to live. So, very grateful. Thank you. Sherry, if I could have you come up, I'd like to read and present you with this award. I'll come up and use this mic. I'll go ahead and read it. On behalf of the grateful residents of Genoa Township, the Genoa Township Board of Trustees recognizes Sherry Schechinger for her outstanding service and contributions to Genoa Township. Sherry's generosity of time, talent, and treasure, along with that of her husband Joe and her daughter Claire, have resulted in numerous park improvements, the addition of amenities, and the creation of successful community events. Her enthusiasm and planning efforts helped shape our community vision for Genoa Township's parks and open spaces. For her friendship, her volunteerism, and her dedication towards improving the quality of life in Genoa Township, our community proudly recognizes her influence. The combined efforts of Sherry and her family have made Genoa Township truly a nice place to live.
That's beautiful.
I'll let you take it out.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is flat. Wow.
Could we have Joe, would you mind coming up and we can get some photos with you and with Mark and with Ron? Wow. Trustees, we can
do it. Yeah,
that'd
be fine. Sure.
Thank you.
And like always, we say, don't be a stranger. We know you. We see you around.
Oh, good, yeah. That was a plan, no.
Well, I know with work commitments, you've got enough on your hands. We do see you around. We see you, Bocce. Glad I don't have to play you, so.
May I introduce Phil Johnson, another PAB
Absolutely.
Member?
Sure.
And he's very good. Really been a help to us, too, on one. He came out for Sherry.
Thanks for sharing this tonight with us, Phil. Great. We are going to move along at this point, go to our fiscal officer, Pat Myers, for the fiscal report.
Thanks, sir. Mm-hmm. Just a couple items. First, I would ask your approval of the meeting minutes for the regular trustee meeting of November 6, 2014.
Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve the following meeting minutes for November 6, 2014, regular trustee meeting.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. Second, I'll have financials for your signature. excuse me. They've been emailed to the Finance Committee as well. This is a month in November 2014. Balance of $14,057.01. The way that money breaks out for us is we have $10,992,808.31 in our pooled investment, and then our primary account of $3,057,258.70. And that is, everything is balanced, and so we'll have that for your signatures at the end. And then lastly, Chief, I may ask you to chime in here. And I know about this, but in case you want to get some information, I do have a supplemental appropriation I'll ask you to approve. We're going to move $725 from the police fund capital billing into the police fund canine fund account for Gandalf for some medical expenses, correct, for Gandalf. So the money is in the capital account, and so we're just going to move that $725 over to the fund for canine to pay that medical bill.
Is that all that right?
Okay,
is there a motion from the board?
Okay, I'll move to retroactively authorize the fiscal officer to process the following supplemental appropriation to account 2191-210-490-0020 from account 2191-760-720 0000 in the amount of $725 from the police fund capital building account to the police fund canine fund account.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on this? Should we have you talk about this now, Chief?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So a few weeks ago, we had another instance where Gandalf became very suddenly and very violently sick.
Oh, no.
In the cruiser. There was concern that there was a reoccurrence of the previous illness where his stomach had flipped. So Officer Berner rushed him to MedVet again. They ran a lot of tests on him, brought the doctors in. They looked at all the old stuff, all the old x-rays, x-rayed again. They did not see any new problems. Long story short, after 24 hours, he was okay, and in doing some investigation, Officer Berner found out that while nobody was looking, Gandalf in the backyard got into the bird bath and drank the water. So evidently got some bad water. But initially the concern was that he was going through what he'd been through before, so we were very concerned. But he's been fine since.
Yes.
But obviously the emergency vet bill.
Sure.
Coupled with the previous expenditures, exceeded what we had appropriated for the year for Gandalf.
Right. Yep.
Any more comments from the board? Hearing none, will you please call the roll, Mr. Myers?
Yes. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries.
One last thing.
Wish Gandalf all the best. Get him an edible arrangement.
Take the water.
One last thing, December 16th, we will spend no more money this year. So just to let everybody know, you have until the 16th, okay. As far as POs and things like that. Okay, so we'll cut off the 16th. That gives us time to close the books at a reasonable time, turn back around for everything in January. We've gotten some very, very nice comments from the auditor's office over the years because we close the books in a timely manner. So that's one of the things we want to continue to do. So the 16th will be cut off, okay? And Paul's aware of that. He quits initialing POs and don't do anything. And that's all I have. There's a couple notes on my about some meetings that we're going to announce later.
Okay, great. We're going to move to public comments, and we do have another special guest here this evening. We have Brett Burgerford, who is the Deputy Drainage Engineer from the Delaware County Engineer's Office. Brett makes the trip over once a year and kind of gives us an update as to what his office has been up to, and always gives a nice overview of your operations, so we appreciate you being here.
Just in time for the pizza to hit your stomach, I get to talk about my absolute boring presentation. Well, I've tried to spare you some of the commentary this evening, so I've given you packets in front of you. There are various, I guess, chapters of the packet. The cover page is, I've tried to summarize the rule itself instead of standing up here and regurgitating monotone for 10 minutes of what's required of this stormwater. MPDS Phase 2 stands for National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. Relating to stormwater quality, relating to the Federal Clean Water Act. As we all know, this is the permit that focuses on six measures relating to maintaining or improving the quality of the stormwater runoff from our facilities, as well as into our roadway ditches, as well as how we maintain anything that is owned or operated by the township, who is co-permitting with Delaware County. We've had this relationship since 2003 when the first permit came out, and I will talk about the next generation permit that comes out in 2015. So we're essentially finishing up a 10-year relationship with the township. So I greatly appreciate that relationship, I have to say.
Is that something we'll have to sit down and renew, or I mean, how does?
I will, yeah.
Will we need to convene a discussion with your office?
My original intention was to address the notice of intent as co-permittees with the township and the county this evening, but I'm going to have to come back to a later meeting because I spoke with the county prosecutor's office, and there is an intergovernmental agreement process that they've gone to now, where in the last two permit cycles, we've utilize the official application that we have with the Ohio EPA for the NOI, ran that through with a resolution before the trustees. That has satisfied the permit conditions. However, the prosecutor's office kind of wants to tighten things up a little bit more, which I fully understand, and I personally feel it's a step in the right direction, especially because of some of the conditions that are in the new permit. The new permit, first and foremost, as we're going to be including a couple additional townships in the new permit. That's based upon the 2010 census. There was a total of 5 additional townships in Delaware County that were identified as urbanizing areas based upon the Columbus metropolitan area and that population creep up into Delaware County. However, two of the townships, Trenton and Troy, the urbanized area that impacts their townships, which are very, very small areas, are all annexed areas that are served by other MPDS regulated communities, Sunbury and the city of Delaware. So We are left with three townships, Delaware, Berlin, and Berkshire. I think I had mentioned that last year. I was speculating Berlin and Berkshire. Berkshire Township may or may not be included with the rule because their urbanized area is very small, albeit that it's within the township. It's not within a regulated municipality. There's a population density of 1,000 people per square mile. Mm-hmm. So that block, there's not like 1,000 some odd people living within that. Through discussions I've had with the Ohio EPA, that's an exemption to the rule, and it's laid out within their stormwater, within the administrative code section for the rule. So ultimately, we could have three. Probably we're going to end up having two additional townships, which is Berlin Township and Delaware Township. A couple of the high points about the 2015 permit. As we've expected, as we've seen over the last couple of permit cycles, the first permit cycle was very heavy on the developing of the program, the stormwater management program, which is essentially how we say we're going to achieve compliance with the rule. So the first 5 years, I prepared the stormwater management program, essentially developing this program, developing that program, every program to comply with those six minimum control measures that are outlined on that that front page handout there. The second generation permit was still a kind of a humble balance between developing, but they were the expectation was, is okay, you've had 5 years to develop this, let's start implementing it. A lot of the measures I start implementing it actually in the first five-year permit cycle because, quite frankly, I just wanted to get this thing up and running. The third generation permit is going to have a lot, is going to have more implementation, as well as not a whole lot more reporting requirements. Some of those I'm self-imposing on the program because you can kind of see the writing on the wall. I'd rather prepare and plan out. But in addition to that, we just have the understanding that it's just going to be easier to kind of stay ahead of the program instead of lagging behind or possibly just waiting to be told through our annual audits. We've had annual audits. I'm preparing for our 2015 audit by the Ohio EPA staff. In addition to the annual audits, my department, which consists of me and two of my staff, have a very good relationship with the Ohio EPA. From their construction side, my inspectors communicate back and forth in regards to the plan review, in regards to compliance efforts. But in addition to that, like I said, I can just pick the phone call up, and so I think I've made the comment to you, and I it's all sincerity, and that's the way it's been from the very beginning, and I appreciate that relationship that I have with the Ohio EPA. Let me try to think of some other high points of the 2015, the new permit. One of the points that was asked when I went to the one of the townships was, is, well, what does this mean for us as well as we have the new townships coming on board? What it really means is that I spent the first five-year permit developing the program, of which we didn't charge any of the co-permittees. We pretty much just did. We just developed it. Why? Because it was pretty much me doing it. So, you know, at cost containment, right? Then we started charging, billing the townships in the next five-year permit cycle, actually midway through. But what the question was asked was, does that mean our rate's going to be different than the new ones? Like, well, the systems are already in place. They're just going to be essentially doing the same work for the same programs. And so I don't anticipate there being a tiered cost between the townships, mm-hmm. Meaning the new ones and the existing ones. But what I would like to say is that the invoice that's before you this evening is 3% less. I know it'd be it's a nice raise, but also if I can save you money, I can save you money. It's 3% less than what it was last year, and I think last year was somewhere around 10% less. So what that means is if we have additional townships coming in, I would like to continue to see that trend of of it not being as costly. So I'm pretty happy with that. I'm always happy to see things trending downward when it comes to cost. Yet we'll just have to see how the next five-year permit cycle comes in. But that is going to be one of the items that is going to be outlined within the intergovernmental agreement, and that is how much is it going to cost. And that's one of the specifics that they wanted to have in the agreement. It's not that we didn't have it in the agreement before, yet it's based upon your road mileage at $220 a mile. And the factors that go into that is essentially the more urbanized of the area, the more roadways and the roadway drainage.
Does that include private roads?
That includes, this rule only applies to publicly owned, operated, or maintained roadways. Okay. So if it's a private road, that is not under the ownership or maintenance obligations of the township, it does not apply.
So it's, but county roads would not be included either?
County roads fall under Delaware County.
Okay.
And this is the certified road mileage data that is reported to the state. So sometimes there's like, well, we thought we had this, or we didn't know we had that kind of a thing. And I don't oversee that mileage. It's not something that I'm involved in. And actually, I just get it reported to me on what it is. The urbanized area, however, rides with the census data. And as we all know, it's 10 years behind generally.
Brett. As a result of our population, though, we would be, if we weren't partnering under Delaware counties, we would be happy to do our own.
You would have to develop and implement a stormwater management program,
right?
That would address the six minimum control measures, which are essentially the six requirements of the rule.
Right.
And so that would require, for example, we have a program that where we have plan review for new developments. I have an inspection process for going out and reviewing and ensuring that water quality measures are installed, both during construction, which you see sometimes big ponds that are muddy, those are sediment ponds, or you see the silt fence around. We have a residential component to that where we inspect individual lots being built. And again, it's me and two of my staff members doing that, as well as we have a program for storm mapping, where we go out and identify outfalls for dry weather screening. We are in the process of doing that for Ingenoa Township. Mm-hmm. And what that means is I think last year I mentioned we had done all your facilities. So where all your facilities drained and what's going on at those facilities, we went out and mapped them. Well, now we're in the process of actually mapping every roadway, every culvert, every area where a road ditch intercepts with a water course. All those measures, and that's just an example of one of the many requirements of the regulation. But I have an energetic staff, and they have an energetic boss, and sometimes I'm classified as a one-man wrecking crew, but it gets the job done, and it's something I enjoy doing very well, and working with you guys makes it that much more enjoyable.
Brad, I understand you're still in the process of mapping everything overall, but you've mapped the facilities. Do you have any observations at this point specific to Genoa that you need to be aware of? Anything that we're doing wrong? Anything we're doing right?
There is nothing that has caused me concern with it. I would say, for the most part, everything is being done right, and I'm just kind of going through in my head.
Sure.
Because facilities such as what we have at our township and county level, where we have vehicle maintenance, where we have outside storage, those in the past have fallen underneath what's called an industrial permit, because they're more industrial in nature, but with the MS4 permit, a lot of those measures have been captured and addressed underneath the MS4 permit. And so the industrial permit is a lot more stringent than what the MS4 permit focuses on. But there's a nice, actually I printed, there's a nice little flow chart that the Ohio EPA put out. I mean, they have a great support when it comes to that. And it outlines essentially what's done at the facility, and do you have to get an individual permit, do you have to get an MS4 permit. And all of your facilities are falling underneath the MS4 permit. You know, some measures such as outside storage, the big one, we're getting into the time of the year where we're having a lot of salt. And we as a county, we have salt storage and we handle it. It's, you can't keep it 100% contained. You can't, some states actually have entire big, huge buildings where they're loading trucks undercover and it's a no exposure certification. We don't necessarily have that in place and have to have that in place, but what we have to have in place is the operation and maintenance plans to ensure that, yes, our trucks are calibrated properly, yes, we're handling it in a manner that it's not going to be spilling out of the truck and in close proximity to water courses. If it does run off of a pad, how are we going to contain it before it will leach into the surface waters, as well as not pose a groundwater concern? Now, the groundwater concern isn't a surface water rule, but again, that's kind of one of those extra things where I've built it in and wanted to say, you know, if we're protecting our surface water resources, let's just kind of keep it from our groundwater resources also. So we will continue to work with the facilities and continue to map them, because especially in your guys' townships, you know, things tend to change quickly, and that's a good thing. As part of our annual dry weather screening, we update our storm maps respectively also. Over the past, I've worked very well with Paul and Bob, and we've been able to kind of sometimes just push autopilot, and I do my job and they do theirs, and we all just kind of continue on down the path. So just a couple of the items. The red tab is the annual report that I submit to the Ohio EPA every April 1st. No pun intended, but that's April Fool's Day, and so I try not to be the fool and get it in before the April 1st deadline. That's a copy of what I submitted for last year. Okay. And then the blue tab itself is the next generation permit, as I like to state it as. It was released in September, and essentially we have 90 days from that time frame to circle the wagons, get all the paperwork attended to, and cut the check and get it all in the mail. So in light of the conversations I've had with the prosecutor's office this week, I didn't realize but I was going to be calling the Ohio EPA and asking them if I could possibly get a little bit more of an extension. I've never asked for an extension, but I didn't realize this was going to be a legal hiccup within our internal process. So just being up front with everyone present, and just wanted to say that that's why you may be seeing my face back here in a couple weeks.
You're always welcome here, Brad.
The invoice is a separate item. That was done underneath, that's services rendered. That's done under this year. Again, the intergovernmental agreement applies to the next generation permit for the next 5 years. That essentially will begin January 1st of 2015.
One of the issues that has come up with the city of Columbus and Hoover Reservoir, of course, being here and being a primary water supply, surface water supply for the city, are there any special activities or events or coordination that we're doing, the county is doing under this program with the city relative to stormwater management and Hoover?
Over the past couple of years, I think they have increased their efforts. I have gotten phone calls and have spoken with the City of Columbus and consultants for them in regards to our storm map, in regards to roadway plans. I know they've been installing various rainwater garden type features that essentially will capture the drainage coming off the roadway, slow it down, try to get it in the ground, allow plants to take it up before it reaches the reservoir. Other measures I've interacted with them over probably the last 4 years is when we're doing some maintenance activities on culverts. They would like to see that we be a little more sensitive to to our procedures or how we restore specific areas if we do have to maintain drainage to ensure that, you know, public health, safety, and welfare is not being impacted, which was kind of a learning curve for our crews because typically we deal with roadway drainage. More than my operations drainage guys will deal primarily with drainage. They put culverts in, they make them drain. That's their job. And I wholeheartedly respect that as being a drainage engineer. But also being a environmental-based drainage engineer also, I have to find that balance. And that's where the restoration comes in. We have to get the drainage through, but then how do we restore it with specific plantings or measures to slow the water down? So, yes, we have been working with the City of Columbus. Actually, I have Elena Grody?
Mm-hmm.
Actually had a, and I've been passing phone calls back and forth because she's asking me about another a ditch improvement project that we've been working on. So I just haven't been able to connect with her yet. But yeah, we have a good relationship. And actually, I, for everybody to know, I used to work with the City of Columbus in the Water Quality Lab as an analytical chemist in the 90s. And so I understand what they're faced with, and I understand the source water protection plan. Again, it's a good relationship. I hope that continues to grow.
One thing I would encourage, we've been making pretty strong efforts to engage with the city on management of not only the immediate area around Hoover Reservoir where residents live, but just the watershed in general. Mm-hmm. And I know they have an interest in what we do and, you know, our septic systems in the township and future sewer lines in the township and a lot of other activities. So anything that you could do to help improve and build that communications and involvement between the township and the city and the county relative to just the whole management of our township around their reservoir, which is in our township, we would greatly appreciate that.
I'll be more than happy to. I had sat in on a planning meeting with this, and the City of Columbus was there. You also have a relationship with the Delaware Soil and Water Conservation District where they deal with drainage, specific drainage, non-regulatory issues. And so I participated in planning meetings with them, and the City of Columbus was there. And so, again, that I hadn't heard any new information that has come out of those planning meetings, but with your comment, I'll follow up with it. It kind of reminded me of that meeting I had a couple years ago, and a lot of good things were talked, and then you don't see anything after the fact. So it's I hate to have that kind of meetings where, you know, a lot of energy, and then you don't see anything. And so I appreciate you bringing that up. I'll see what they can do.
Thanks.
Yep.
I believe we do have an invoice here that we can act upon tonight. Is there a motion from the board at this time to move forward on this?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we pay the invoice $15,514.43 Delaware County Engineer for the MS4 permit.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Pat, is that framed correctly? I mean, do we need to, it's not a then and now, or I don't know. Okay, good.
Roll call, Mr. Gebler.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfani.
Aye. Motion carries.
Again, thank you all for the relationship that we have. We appreciate it.
We appreciate your services.
Doing the work for us.
Keep up the great work. Okay, we are still in the public comment portion of the meeting. I know we do have a lot of folks here this evening. Is there anyone wishing to speak under public comment? Seeing, hearing none, we will go ahead and move on to police. Chief Gamble.
Good evening. As far as police activity, the past month it's been relatively quiet. There is one issue I did want to bring to your attention. In case you've received calls on it, or in case you do receive calls on it, we've received a number of calls or complaints about a group of vendors called Fresh Start. They sell magazine or newspaper subscriptions. They received their permit on November 19th, and it's valid until January 30th. Since they started, we've received a number of calls, and Some of them, the complaints are somewhat vague, but a lot of times it's, you know, that the person comes to the door and they're rude or pushy, and there's not a whole lot we can do with that. Again, it's kind of a subjective term. There's nothing in the resolution for vendors that talks about behavior or their sales techniques or things like that. There was a complaint that one vendor came up and asked if they wanted a subscription. They said no. The vendor said, well, will you give me some money anyway? So really can't do much about that. We looked at this from a number of different angles. Again, the resolution only speaks to the hours and the days when people can go vend. It doesn't get more in-depth in that. Luann did some initial checking on the company and found out that through the Better Business Bureau, they did not have a very good rating. The problem with that, and we checked with the prosecutor, is we really can't get in the position of trying to verify whether a vendor or a business is a good business or a bad business. We don't want to, and we really can't go down that road. So there's nothing we can do about that. It's kind of a buyer's beware on the part of the residents. You know, we do try to tell people that, you know, if you feel, you know, suspicious activities going on, give us a call. You know, you can put up no soliciting signs, and if they violate those, then we can take their permit away. If they violate the parameters of the hours, we can take their permit away. But other than that, we can't do much. So a couple things. One, just to make you aware, in case you've gotten any complaints from any residents or in case they've come to your door or you get any calls, where we're at with that. And also, if down the road you want to, you know, debate or talk about looking at the vendor's resolution again. Again, it's very difficult to regulate the behavior of the salespeople when they come to the door. Now, if somebody says, come to the door and somebody says, no, thank you, I don't want anything, please leave, they have to leave the property. And if they don't do that, then we can deal with that.
Chief, what are the hours again that they can go door to door?
The hours are 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturdays, and no soliciting on Sunday or holidays.
Okay.
So really, Chief, the authority we have under the issuing this permit is the days and times, period.
What leeway do you have to further regulate that? I'm not sure. I think you'd have to check with the prosecutor to see exactly what you could do. Under the current resolution, that's really all we have.
One of the things, I mean, to your point about the Better Business Bureau, score or whatever you want to call it. I mean, if a company has a poor rating under the current resolution, we don't have any authority to say.
Or to deny them a permit? No, we don't. Okay. And it could be problematic if we started looking at the business background and we put out something. If we said, all right, they're a good business, we give them a permit, and then they go out and scam somebody,
right.
On us. Or if we say, hey, they're a bad business, and then they take action against the township. So in conversation with the prosecutors, and good advice, you probably really don't want to go down that road. It's kind of a buyer beware. I mean, I know personally where I live, I get people coming to my door all the time, and I just, no thanks, have a good evening, close the door, and that's it. So, but just purpose was just to make you aware of that.
I appreciate it.
Then the other thing I had on the agenda was some discussion of facilities. I think we'll just wrap that in the executive session when we talk about the other facility issues. And that's all I really had, unless there's any questions.
Any other activity we need to be aware of or the residents should be aware
again
of?
It's been relatively quiet. Earlier this week we did have an occasion where there were I think 7 cars broken into overnight. Again, it was where they were unlocked. Dan, was it Genoa Farms? It was in the farms. Relatively very little taken out of any of the cars. So, again.
But that just goes back to ongoing vigilance. I mean, that's a year-round thing.
It happens everywhere. Chief, I mean, they've been hitting around the county.
No, we had that one morning. It was a Saturday morning a couple weeks ago where we had some ice. And
yes.
We had a little,
yes.
Fender bender slash township building.
Yes.
Bender.
And I was going to discuss that.
Were you?
That's part of the facility discussions that we prepared.
Okay.
That was an interesting day. The officers did a great job. Maintenance did a great job doing. You know, you can only do so much with Mother Nature. It gets down to people really have to slow down. We've had a couple occasions. The car SUV flipped one morning and take out the guardrail down there. So it's.
Oh, I wondered that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fixed now.
So no serious injuries or anything like that?
No, I was out there. The gentleman was not injured.
Yeah, good.
unfortunately. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Move on to maintenance.
The first item is I need to move money from one account to the other to pay some bills.
Okay. Is there a motion from the board at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and make a motion to retroactively authorize a fiscal officer to process the following supplemental appropriation to fund 2031-330-360-000, the amount of $22,760, road and bridge fund contracted services, from fund 2031-760-750-0000, the amount of $22,760, road bridge fund improvement of sites.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries.
Next one is a then and now purchase order to McCoy Paving in the amount of $8,540 for hauling stone and debris.
Okay, I'll move a then and now purchase order to McCoy Paving, Inc. in the amount of $8,540 for hauling stone and debris.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Where's the stone and debris?
The stone was for stock at the garage, and the debris was all the stuff that was in the front of the salt shed from Freeman Road.
Yep.
So do we normally have them do hauling? Or?
Usually we have them haul if we have our trucks tied up and they got spinners on them now for salt.
Mm.
Oh.
Please call the roll,
Pat. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carbonio.
Aye. Motion carries.
Next one, then and now to McCoy Paving for $5,760 for snow removal from the November 17th snow event.
Is there a motion from the board?
Comments. Motion to approve a then and now purchase order to McCoy Paving in the amount of $5,760 for snow removal.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Bob, is this to
hire Bobcats to clean cul-de-sacs?
Cul-de-sacs.
Yes.
What was the amount of snow we had? I mean, do we have a trigger when we...
We don't call the help in until we get 3 inches.
Okay. And normally we have the snow plow. I mean, it seems like every year we go through this and we should know it, especially since I live on a cul-de-sac. So we run the snow plow in there, but then the bobcat comes in and kind of cleans it out.
Cleans it all out and don't leave it in the middle of the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Our trucks will push it to the middle because when we push it to the edges, it buries everybody's mailboxes.
Right. Yes. I've heard that.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpenter.
Aye. And motion carries.
Next one is a requisition for $15,000 for a super blanket for hauling salt from Cincinnati. That's our last order from Morocco.
Morocco.
And
yes.
It docked yesterday, and it's supposed to be available first of next week to pick up.
Is this the brown salt?
That's the brown salt.
We feel
525 tons.
And we feel confident about its effectiveness.
We've been using it. I guess it works.
All right.
Yeah. That's great. I'll move to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $15,000 for hauling salt.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carpenter.
Aye. Motion carries.
The next one is a requisition for $35,000 for a super blanket for hauling of stone and buying no stone for Max Sound walk path.
I'm going to make a motion to approve blanket purchase order in the amount of $35,000 for hauling stone for Max Sound Road walk path.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Bob, is that the one that's going to be under construction?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll have that on hand.
We have some money left that we could buy this stone and start on it this winter.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the path itself? I mean, the route of the path and...
Yeah, why don't we, if you wouldn't mind, a little bit of an update on where we are with that whole Maxtown situation.
You might as well do that then. He's got engineering to draw up the
plan.
Are we going to require a motion for that?
For this, yes.
Okay.
So why don't we act on...
Why don't we go ahead and deal?
That's fine. Motion hasn't made made and seconded, so why don't you go and call the roll, please?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfani?
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
All right.
The there's been a demand for a trail along Maxtown for a number of years. The residents in the area, the residents that would like to get off of Maxtown with their bikes, safety concerns from the residents, people that want to try to eventually get to Hoover down Maxtown Road, people that want to ride bikes to the church. So we would like to phase in the project. What we're going to try first off is what we're going to plan on working on is a trail that runs from Spring Run Road, which ties in with the trail that runs behind the sewage pumping facility. We're going to tie into that trail and work through the woods towards the property that's owned by the Westerville Reserve HOA. Seems like a crazy route to go, but actually we'll save a lot of money by avoiding the run that runs underneath Maxtown Road. It's a very wide run, and it would be very expensive to try to put in some kind of a structure that crosses that wide of an area. We will need a small bridge that gets across a little bit of the area there leading into the Westerville Reserve property. Bob and I have had some good discussions with the neighbors and the HOA down at Westerville Reserve. They're very anxious to work with the township on the connection. There's a small section of the trail that would be crossing their road, their grounds. So we've been working with them on plotting it out and planning and working out some details concerning the drainage and some of the sprinkler system issues that they have and some of the lighting issues. So we're working together, and I think the agreement will come together rather quick. I think in principle everyone's agreed with the terms and what we need to do to construct.
And it probably should be noted that this trail eventually is going to tie in with a sidewalk that runs up to Tussock. I know EPCON,
yes.
We just approved the EPCON project 2 weeks ago. One of the commitments that EPCON is required to make is to run a sidewalk that connects with the sidewalk along Tussock,
yeah.
But run it down Maxtown to their new development. I would assume we probably would want to run a trail beyond them to the church to connect them with,
yes,
with this proposed project. So
definitely.
So that way, if you live in Westerville Reserve, if you live in Barrington Estates, you're going to be able to access that walk and get to the other trail system.
Park Bend and Park Bend. Others. So our plan is to get an easement, obtain an easement off of Westerville Reserve, and also three residents to the west of the Westerville Reserve property. There's three houses along the area that we'll be working with some problems that they've had on a right-of-way with some drainage. I know that there's flooding issues in that area, so we're trying to make it so we'll put in a trail in, but also we'll be working on the drainage at the same time in the area, which has been greatly needed for years. So our goal is to go through those three properties, and then the township owns quite a bit of right-of-way around the Gustell parcel that leads to the church. So our game plan within the next 9 months would probably to have a trail from Spring Run all the way up to the church, to the eastern side of the church. So, and at that point, the church has some obligations to install the trail along with the EPCON people. So we're going places, but unfortunately, we don't have an engineer on staff. So under one of my requests this evening, and I just received the bid tonight
for doing engineering work for the trail. Typically, a standard easement would run us anywhere around $1,500 to $2,000. This quote is for four easements for drawing out the exhibits for the recording of the easements and also creating a legal description that we can attach to the easement agreement. So we do need to get the legalities. This will handle those legalities so that the easements can be recorded at the county facilities so that we can have those easements from here on out. This proposal is from EMHT. It's a fair proposal. Like I said, it's cheaper than what we would try to do to obtain individual easements. We've asked them to package up all four easements together. So the bid's for $4,500 to do all four of the easement descriptions and surveying and also the exhibits needed. So I'd like to ask the board if you could approve the this proposal this evening so we can begin the process.
Okay. I will move to approve a purchase order of $4,500 to EMHT for the engineering of Maxtown, for a trail engineering on Maxtown Road, which includes bike path easements.
Yes. Second.
Motion's made and seconded. I guess what's the thought behind going with EMHT? We've worked with them in the past.
Yes, we've been trying to work with them in the past on some issues, and they've been pretty responsive to our needs, and they actually turned around this quotation rather quick for us. And so they're a good company.
All right.
Bless you.
Paul, are we just to maintain some consistency along Maxtown? I mean, we've talked a sidewalk from, say, west of the church up to Tussock. Are we talking a sidewalk down through here, or is it going to be like a multi-purpose trail?
This will be an eight-foot trail.
Okay.
That will run from church east.
Okay.
To Spring Run.
And then from the church west, it'll be sidewalk.
I'll have to check on the commitments.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure it matters. I just didn't know, if we were going to have it consistent all along, or if there was going to be a difference. I think it'd be nice if we had it consistent, but
you mean in width and
look? Yeah, width, look, yeah.
Asphalt compared to concrete.
Okay.
Sidewalk versus multi-purpose trail. I mean, I'm not sure one is better than the other, but
well, like you said, I think it comes down to width. I mean, some of the trails, you've got enough room for two lanes. You've got stroller coming this way, bike going that way.
Right.
Otherwise, somebody's got to step off and let the other one through.
Yeah. Just having something along here would be great.
Yes.
Great.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpagno.
Aye. Motion carries.
Next item is North America Rock Salt Company changed their name after you approved the purchase order, and that is the salt we got for Swap 4 Group, and their new name is Compass Mineral America. So I need to do a then and now purchase order to them, paying it out of the funds that were already in the process of American Rock Salt.
I'll move to approve a then and now purchase order to Compass Mineral America in the amount of $32,490 for road salt.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any discussion? So I think it's important to distinguish. This is the SWAT 4 salt. This is the salt that I guess has been allocated to us.
285 tons.
285, yeah. Not a lot.
Not a lot since we asked for 1,800 in the bid.
And we went through 2,500 last winter.
Yes.
Yeah. Bob, and just as a reminder, I mean, the reason we're getting this out of Cincinnati, this Moroccan salt, I mean, it was really an availability issue. I mean,
correct.
If it weren't for that, we would have
correct
basically this amount.
Correct.
So,
Before the roll, just another point. This $32,000 is not an additional expense. That money's already been set aside. It's just a name change.
Mm-hmm. Right. Change the name.
Right.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfine.
Aye, motion carries.
The next item is a resolution of necessity for the sidewalk maintenance program, Zone 2. There's 301 letters to go out. There's 10,858 square feet of sidewalk that needs to replace and 350 square feet of driveway sidewalk.
Wow.
And that zone, I cut back to what we discussed at the last trustee meeting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Need us to, what do you need us to, what, I guess, what do you need us to act on? You have
the resolution of necessity.
Okay. So you want us to read the whole thing, Pat? Or?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Just got an attachment here, so please.
Okay. I'll move a resolution of necessity for construction of or repair of sidewalks, curbs, or gutters. Whereas sidewalk evaluations were performed by the maintenance department on all properties in the area, generally bounded by State Route 3 on the west, Big Walnut Road on the north, and Tussock Street Road on the east, and Maxtown Road on the south. Whereas written records have been prepared identifying property locations where deficient sections of sidewalk requiring repair exist, and whereas a list of the properties along the estimated costs of the associated repair work has been submitted to the fiscal officer. Now therefore be it resolved by the Township of Genoa, County of Delaware, State of Ohio, Section 1, that the Township of Genoa hereby requires the property owners of properties with identified sidewalk deficiencies to complete the necessary sidewalk repair work by May 31st, 2015, in accordance with construction specifications on file at the maintenance department. Section 2, in the event the property owners fail to complete the required repairs, the director of maintenance is hereby directed to make all necessary repairs commencing in the summer of 2015, with the associated costs thereof to be invoiced and or assessed to the property owners. Section 3, that this resolution shall be in force and effect immediately upon its passage.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries. Was that seconded?
Do we need a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Motion is made, seconded. Call the roll once.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
The last item is we had some snowplow damage from the 17th at 5969 Sugar Maple Court. We hit a light and boulders that were in the right-of-way. Matter of fact, they were right next to the road. And I talked to the gentleman, Mr. Forrest, and told him we had no policy because those items shouldn't be out in the right-of-way anyway. And he still wants the township to reimburse him for the light and the replacement of the light and to move the rocks back. He wants $102.50, and I told him that I could not authorize paying him that because we have no policy for it. And he wanted me to speak for him. I told him the trustee meeting was Thursday night, and he said, I can't come. I want you to talk to him and see if they'll pay me. So that's what I'm asking. For him, he wants reimbursed.
Mr. Chairman, so he is asking us to pay to move them back in the right-of-way?
Move back and redo the light.
I don't think that's legal.
Well, I've got pictures of where the rocks were and where his light was and everything, if you would like to look at them.
Yeah, again, what kind of a light are we talking about? Right.
A little spotlight is shining on the rock. Here's the here's from Dow's view, the right-of-way, you can see where the right-of-way is. He says then, I said, we got a policy for mailboxes. He started on me about mailboxes. I told him, we just don't have no policy, sir. And he wasn't happy with that, so.
Well, I mean, this happens every year. We have basketball hoops that are in the right-of-way that get damaged by our plows because they aren't moved. Plantings and other things that I'm sure they look nice, but they're in the right-of-way. And I don't know that I think Trustee Lewis is right. I don't think that legally we can even compensate someone. I mean, technically it's illegal. It's there to begin with. It's illegal.
Yeah, he said then I want all the rest of the street you to remove them. I said, well, I didn't. I said, we're not going to move them just to move them.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not. I mean, our zoning is pretty much complaint-based. I mean, we don't go out driving in cars looking for all the things in the right-of-way and pick fights with residents over it.
Well, I mean, at the very least, if we'd even want to go ahead on it, we should check with the prosecutor's office. That might.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know,
we have a policy for mailboxes, and that's agreed to in our county.
But that's an authorized, that's something that's authorized to be in the
Yeah, yes. That's totally different.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we deny payment of the $102 to this gentleman.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Any discussion?
I think we need to have something. We have a newsletter coming up. Why don't we, Bob, if you maybe could do something in yours or in Paul, just reminding residents that, you know, there is a right-of-way along all streets, roads, and that really, they are responsible. First of all, they shouldn't have anything in there. Second of all, if something is damaged, it is their responsibility. And if something is damaged to someone else's property, including the township, they can be held liable. So,
okay. I can handle that.
So you say our snowplow was hurt by
No, snowplow road? Did not get hurt.
Oh, okay.
It moved the rock.
Going to ask him for some money.
But
I mean,
he
come on.
He tried to tell me that it was the same driver that's been doing that street for the last 8 years. So he said he had to see it. Well, he might have seen it in the snow, but I tried to explain to him that that plow is pretty big, and if it's over on the grass of 6 inches, it's going to move anything it hits.
Our drivers have enough they got to keep an eye on. Yeah. They can't be worried about things that are illegally placed in the right-of-way and wearing kid gloves for that,
yeah,
for that kind of stuff. So they need to take care of job one.
I will tell the gentleman tomorrow.
We have another meeting December 17th. If you'd like to come and plead his case, and personally, you can wait to listen to it.
Okay. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpani.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. That's all I got.
Thanks, Bob. Hmm.
Thank you. Okay, fire, Chief Gary Honeycutt.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just a couple things. I know there's nothing on the agenda, but a couple things did come up just that, but as late. You should have in your packet a request from Allison Holtzberry requesting a sick leave transfer from the county to us in the amount of 160 hours. She has a balance of, I think it's 358, and our maximum transfer is 160, so I request a motion to transfer 160 hours.
Okay, I'll move to transfer Allison Holtzberry's sick time with Delaware County EMS to Genoa Township in the amount of $160.
Hours.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Hours.
I'll second that motion. Is there any discussion? I guess, was she, how long ago was she working with Delaware County EMS?
She was working there full-time until we hired her full-time, and then she went to part-time, and they won't transfer.
Okay. I didn't realize that she was still with them on a part-time basis.
Yeah, she was with them on a part-time basis, and she just resigned recently on the part-time basis.
I was going to say, Allison's been here forever. Why are we just now doing this?
Yeah.
She's cutting down to 4 jobs.
Cutting down to 4.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpenter.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, next order of business. You may have noticed Captain Johnson in here tonight, and this is just as of late. We would like to put in a request for the Assistance to Firefighters grant through FEMA. And what we've prepared is to replace our two Life Pack 15s. And what those are basically the heart monitors. They recognize heart issues, strokes, that type of thing. Our current machines are 8 years old, and the other one's greater than 10 years old. The service life on them is 5 to 8 years. Now, we budgeted to replace one this year, but we haven't made that expenditure, hoping to take advantage of the grant. Just one of those machines is, and the equipment that goes with it is over $31,000. Yeah, so, and that's why we just, let's see if we can get it through the Assistance to Firefighter grant. Along with that, we're also requesting 6 AEDs. Our plan is to put them in the staff vehicles, one in the station, because if all the vehicles are out and people do come to the station, we have nothing. We'd have to run over to the police shop to get one. So staff cars, the station, and the spare engine. And then also,
do we have one in here?
What's that?
No AED in this building.
Right.
How much do they run?
One AED is $3,300. And then also, we are down 8 radios. The county used to, because we're on the county radio system, the county used to supply the radios. A couple of years ago, they quit supplying the radios, and so we're going to request 8 radios, so each firefighter has a radio, so when they are in a fire or something, they have the ability to communicate, call for help, whatever the case may be. So the total grant that we're pursuing is $124,854. Now, there's a 10% match, which means our portion would be $12,485.40. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking for approval to go ahead and submit this grant to FEMA.
You said it was $12,485.40?
$12,485.40. That would be our expenditure when the grant gets approved, which we hope it does.
Well, it would not be used. It's got to be for their.
It's got to be for fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, because I'm sure it's levy funds. I don't know that you can use levy funds for.
For this bill.
Right.
Yeah.
But I couldn't use the grant funds for this bill.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
We'll just keep that in the back of our minds, though. That might be something to think about down the road.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
I mean, if we need one.
Should have one in this building with all the rentals of the hall and such.
Okay.
Well, let's act on the grant first.
Okay.
So, Chief.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you would go down through again what this grant will be for.
Okay, it would be for 2 Life Pack 15s.
Okay.
And all the ancillary equipment that goes with that, the cuffs, the leads, and all that type of thing. 6 Life Pack 1000 AEDs.
Okay.
And 8 Motorola, do you want the number? Just 8 Motorola radios with batteries, chargers. And there also would be a 3-year service contract with the Life Pack and the AEDs, so it'd be a 3-year service contract included in this grant.
So the radios, the 8 radios, are they a replacement radio? Or
they are in addition to.
In addition to.
Yes, we have firefighters. Since we've got, since we brought on our additional firefighters, they don't have radios, and they're flipping through them. Right now, they're passing them off and such.
I was going to say, I mean, are we going shift by shift, or is this?
Yes.
So if I'm on one shift, I turn that radio over to the person coming on the next shift?
Yes, and then what happens is if we get something, call people in, there's people without radios and such.
Okay, so these are some backup radios.
Yeah. Actually, we'll take the old ones and make the, you know, make a few of those backups.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to make sure we were passing them around.
Yes.
Okay. And we're only on the hook for this match if we do get the grant.
We're only on, yeah.
I mean, we have to commit to paying the match.
Yes, I'm requesting permission to move forward. If we are successful for the $12,000, we're going to get $124,000 worth of equipment.
Understood.
So $124,485 and.
Oh,
40 cents.
This is what he wants to move ahead.
Right.
The grant. Yeah. The total grant cost is $124,854. Our portion would be 12% of that, $12,485.40.
Okay. I'll go ahead and make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to submit a grant in the amount of $124,485.40, of which 10% of that would be township match of $12,485.40.
Okay, the first figure I think was off.
Okay.
The first one should have been $124,854.
$854.
I think you said 45, I'm not sure.
I did. $124,854.
$854,
period.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. All right. And then our match would be $12,485.40.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this would be to FEMA.
FEMA. For 2 life packs, 6 life packs, AEDs, and 8 radios.
Correct.
And ancillary.
And ancillary.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any other discussion on this?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpagna.
Aye. Motion carries. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Then just one announcement. I would just like to remind everybody that the firefighters are having their Firefighters for Families on Sunday from 4 to 7. Santa will be there so the kids can visit with Santa. There will be a tree lighting ceremony at 5 p.m., which we'll have our chairman of the board here do the tree lighting ceremony for us. There's going to be numerous school choirs coming to sing. There'll be refreshments, and we're asking for toys, non-perishable food, gift cards, whatever people would like to donate. So
any toy requests in particular?
Generally what we're told, there are really no requests. Unwrapped is what they're looking for. But where some of the biggest problems are the teenage kids. A lot of people, the young ones get lots of stuffed animals and things.
Yeah.
People tend to forget about the young teenagers. So that's always a need.
Okay. But gift cards would be accepted, as you said.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they always accept gift cards.
There we go.
You did a nice job with it last year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Should be a bit warmer this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I remember.
And we've got a few heaters too. So.
Oh yeah, good.
All right.
Cold last year.
Looking
forward to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Development and zoning. Paul Wise.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For the past few months, we've been utilizing the expertise of one of the members of the Zoning Commission for her assistance on preparation of zoning and BZA minutes. And the arrangement has been working out wonderfully. She's been charging us as per hour of the meeting. She creates the minutes, and then they go to the committees for approval. It's a great system, and it's relieving a lot of work that Susan's been doing in the office. She's very grateful for the expertise and being that Connie Goodman has firsthand knowledge of those committees. It makes preparing the
minutes a lot easier. We've been looking to need some assistance also in the office for doing some of the filing and some of the scanning of documents. And so Connie would be willing to work with the township on that. So we'd like to expand the scope of her duties. She'll be limited, of course, because she's now a new grandmother again, and she'll be assisting with the watching of that youngster. This past week they had the baby. So in her spare time, she'd be willing to assist us as needed. And I'd like to expand on the motion that was that we did a few months ago to have her do minutes. So if you would this evening.
Okay. I'll move to amend the professional service agreement between Connie Goodman, the contractor, and Genoa Township, the client, to provide assistance in maintaining zoning department records, to include but not limited to compiling zoning case files, record retention, and to perform other duties as the township administrator or his designee may request from time to time. Meeting minute preparation will be billed at a rate of $28 per meeting hour, and other duties will be billed at $28 per hour.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there discussion on this? I just know that we do have a kind of a backlog of, again, documents that need to be processed. And it's just a lot of busy work. We've gone from a four-man operation in our zoning office to one person over the last 5 years.
Even so, less than that.
Yeah, so we've come a long way in terms of evolving that office, but we do need the help for things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Susan certainly has her hands full, and we want her to work on some of the bigger items than to have to deal with some of the filing issues. So,
well, do we have maximum minimum on hours?
It's not going to be too many with her schedule, so
Whatever.
She'll bill us for, and we could do a sampling. And once we do hire in the office, you know, maybe the need won't be as much. So,
Well, the fact that it's a contract too, it doesn't cost us.
Yeah, this is the most cost-effective solution as opposed to hiring another part-time employee.
Exactly.
So, great. Thank you.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye. Motion carries.
I also want to note on the front desk and between Pat and Carl, we won a recycling award. Genoa, Liberty, and Orange Township won a recycling award from Delaware County, Keep Delaware County Beautiful Committee. They were very pleased about our collaboration, and we were awarded that this evening. So just a note.
Great.
Next up, I do want to mention a Supreme Court case that just came up recently in Ohio. I was perusing the AP and Associated Press and found that a court case that at the Ohio Supreme Court was ruled on Tuesday, 4-3 decision by the reversed the decision by the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals that granted exceptions to two private property owners for buildings that they leased to Columbus State Community College for branch campuses in Dublin and Groveport. What they had been granted exemptions on their taxes, 100% exemptions, so the Supreme Court said no, those properties do have to pay taxes. We have a similar situation in Genoa Township, and so in order to try to get the funds back or to have them be assessed real estate taxes for next year, there's a deadline of December 31st that's fastly approaching us where we need to file for the exemption, an appeal to the exemption that was put in place a couple years ago. So I'm asking the board this evening to permit me to file the proper paperwork to turn in before the end of this year so that we could start collecting our proper taxes based upon this very similar facts in this court case. What's happened here is pertinent also to Genoa Township.
Okay. I'll move to permit Administrator Wise to go ahead and, is it filing with the Ohio
Department of Taxation.
Board of Taxation, the appropriate paperwork in order for us to do away with the exemption of Columbus State, which is located in Genoa Township.
I'll second that motion. Is there discussion?
Yeah,
I think we should find. Yeah, great find. I mean, it's important to point out that when they applied for and received that exemption, memory serves, I think it was applied retroactively. So we actually had to make a very sizable payment out of our TIF fund because they're located within our TIF area, which is Northgate, mm-hmm. over there behind Home Depot. But we had to cut a very large check to make up for that exemption.
We were actually reduced on our TIF disbursement for that.
Well, going forward, we were, but we actually had to.
That's the way they netted it out to us. They took out what was due retroactively.
I feel like we had to make a payment out of the fund, though. I don't know if Pat remembers or not.
Payment out of the fund for the exempt piece of it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall. I mean, I can check on that.
I've talked to Donna about it. I think it was netted out of our disbursements to the TIF.
Okay.
But they did, you know, going forward, we are owed from the levied funds and property taxes over $5,000 a year. So this will definitely help us.
Yeah.
It's a meaningful amount of money, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So we definitely should pursue it. And all I can say is good luck. So.
All right.
And that's because it was a nonprofit or a college, I mean, basically, but yet there was a private owner of the building that mm-hmm. was just being used. Do we have a similar situation with the Goodwill store? Is that a leased building?
Yes, but they have not applied for an exemption because that came up, this specific thing came up when we were approving the zone.
Right.
And Mr. Romanelli's representative, I believe, said that they
would be paying the tax.
That they would be paying the tax, that they didn't foresee any, that they didn't even think they could apply for the exemption.
Right.
So,
just want to double check on that.
Yeah, we're good.
I don't know if there's any other situation in the town. I mean, we probably don't have that many situations like that, but
no.
Sitting down thinking about it.
And it'd be a different story if Columbus State owned that property,
right.
then the
yeah.
exemption would be valid. But since it's a private property owner who's leasing that property out to Columbus State, that private property owner cannot take that tax exemption.
Yeah. Exactly. Good.
Next up, we have a collaborative effort once again that we're.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did we do the roll on that?
We did not. We were
sorry.
We were still
roll
discussing.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpellini.
Aye. Motion carries. Good catch. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Woo. Kind of important.
Yes. Have to come back.
We've been asked to partner up with Orange Township and Liberty Township for a collaboration to produce salt brine for them. So both of their boards have approved the agreements, and so now it comes down to your board. If you're willing and able to, we found that we won't lose any money in the transaction. We will not be supplying any of the salt or the brine. They will bring the salt over to us. We will produce the salt and bill them for the expenses incurred to produce the brine. So. It's a pretty fair arrangement for them. It's first year that Orange Township's going to be getting into the brine business to start applying it to their streets. So asking the board this evening to approve these two contracts.
For motion from the board.
One of the contracts was attached to the back of Mr. Burgerford's invoice, by mistake, on mine at least.
We're talking Liberty.
In
Orange. I got
you.
Okay.
Sure. I'll go ahead and make a motion enter to an agreement with Liberty Township and Orange Township for salt brine collaboration as presented.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? I think it's a good arrangement. We're not losing anything. We're not losing out on any salt. They're providing all the materials to us, and we're recovering our expenses associated with it. So it's. It's a good investment. It's a goodwill gesture, I guess, and it's the start of many hopeful arrangements, intergovernment arrangements.
Collaboration.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpellini.
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Paul.
Genoa Township was approached by the data bus folks. They have had some public meetings on needs and demands in the area, and there apparently has been some requests to run a Sunbury to Westerville route on their bus service. And so they've approached the township, and they were just wanted to do a test of the route to see if how big the demand is. And so they want to temporarily set up, you know, election signs that just push into the ground, make a temporary bus stop in our parking lot, just, you know, some signage, mm-hmm. and see how well the program goes over as a test. You have a sheet in your packet. It's mm-hmm. got some red on it. Basically, they'll run from the Kroger store in Sunbury, go over to Galena Square. Next stop they would make at the Genoa Township Administration Office. And then from here they'd go down to Myers on Polaris, and then to Ohio Health on Polaris. Make a turn there, go back up to Giant Eagle, and then back to the administration office, back to Galena, and back to Kroger and Sunbury. Mm-hmm. And they would do this 4 or 5 times a day. Wow. And so they're saying the demand would be for those employees that live in the Galena Sunbury area that want to work down in the plaza. They're able to catch rides. Plus, with the addition from this route, they're able to catch a COTA bus south at the Ohio Health. And the route, if you take the route all the way from Sunbury all the way down one way, would be $1. So it's affordable if someone in the area wants to catch the bus here. Mm-hmm. It would be a good thing. They can head to Ohio Health if they got a doctor appointment or something for $1. So it's a pretty good test, and I thought the board, you would be in favor mm-hmm. of testing this with them. And if it does become popular, they may look for some permanent signing in our parking lot here. So.
Do you need a motion?
Just wanted to bring that.
It might be worth promoting. I mean, if this does get underway and is successful, it might be worth promoting to Ferradine Commons. Just, you know, if there are folks over there that maybe can't drive or don't want to drive, but, you know, maybe they can walk a block up the street here and hop on board and get their shopping done.
They can head to Sunbury or Galena. Great. Next up, I do want to tell you that we did have some interest on the trustee open position that will be happening in January. 10 fine residents in the township have applied for being considered for that position. There are a bunch of them here tonight. I'm glad to say they're here. I do want to name them right now. First off is Mark Akison, former trustee of the township.
I think we should acknowledge whoever's here tonight, acknowledge that they are
here. Acknowledge them. To my right, we have Mark Harmon. Wave, Mark, in case anybody doesn't know you. We have Frank D'Antonio, back behind Mark. We have Larry King in the back, and we have Sarah Walsh. So these four are wanting to be the next. It sounds like one of these shows, Who Wants to Be the Next Trustee show. Along with them, we have Stephen Chalky, Ron Staub, James Flaherty, Leo Wilhelm, and Kevin Gaynor. So those 10 would like to be the next trustee. I don't know.
We have received all the materials. We're going to be, I think, just discussing it in executive session a little bit later. But we do have a meeting on the 17th. We'll be announcing, I think, after the executive session, who will be screening moving forward. I don't think there's any, it's worth saying anything more at this point. So.
7 o'clock on the 17th. Is that it?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we'll be announcing that as when we come out of our executive session later on. Yeah. And Paul will be making some calls then. Okay, is that all you have, Paul? We're going to go into announcements here before we go into executive session. Our zoning commission will be meeting on November the 10th.
I think this is
Can you use late the announcements, Rick, under the agenda?
Oh,
are these different?
Those are.
Yeah.
November.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. We have a zoning commission meeting on December the 8th. It'll be here at the hall at 7 p.m. Also on December the 8th, State Representative Margaret Ann Rule will be having her office hours here at the over on the administrative office side of the building. That's from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. So we've encouraged people to come down and meet your state rep. On December 15th will be the next BZA hearing. December 18th will be our special zoning hearing. What is the special zoning hearing again? Is that a Stantec presentation?
I think they have that one already. I'm not sure.
There'll be a special zoning hearing on December 18th.
Yeah.
December 24th and 25th, our offices will be closed in observance of Christmas. On January 1st, the offices will be closed for New Year Day. And our next trustee meeting, the next regular trustee meeting, I should say, will be on January the 8th at 7 o'clock p.m. That's our reorganization meeting where we go through and rehire all of our employees and make budgetary decisions. But again, we will be meeting on December the 17th. We'll be meeting with the, it'll be a public meeting for the candidates for the soon-to-be-vacant trustee position to present themselves and for the general public to come and they want to speak for or against or just in general. So we would encourage everyone to come out and listen to those who are being considered.
7 p.m.
What is it?
7 p.m.
That's at 7 p.m. on December 17th.
And correct. Is that a special meeting?
That is a special meeting, yes.
Well, that's not the meeting you want the guy coming in then.
Oh,
didn't you mention that?
What guy?
The guy with the rock, the boulder. You said have him come in on the...
Yeah.
Yeah, don't.
It'd be
don't.
Next, whatever the next regular trustee
yeah,
meeting would
yeah.
be.
January 8th.
Don't
January
bring him
8th.
In on the boulder.
By then you would have hit it a couple more times, right?
Maybe wants to run for trustee. Yeah.
He's too late.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay. At this point, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn into executive session at 8:42 p.m. to consider the purchase of property for public purposes. If premature disclosure of information would give an unfair competitive or bargaining advantage to a person whose personal private interest is adverse to the general public interest, and also to consider the appointment and employment of a public employee or official.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carbone.
Aye. Motion carries. We are now in executive session at 8:42 p.m. Okay, the time is now 10:21 p.m., and I will make a motion that we come out of executive session and return to regular session. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carbone.
Aye. Motion carries. I believe we have a couple of items of business. Is there any items of business?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to for the township to expend up to $5,400 for geotech testing.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagno.
Aye. Motion carries. One of the other items that we took up during our executive session was an examination of the materials that have been submitted by those who are interested in replacing, or rather trying to replace, Trustee Barb Lewis once that vacancy occurs. They're all very outstanding. Everyone is extremely accomplished in unique ways. And we have come to the conclusion that we are going to consider all 10 of the applicants for the position of trustee. So in keeping with the process that we have outlined, all 10 applicants now are going to, we're going to be submitting all of their names for background checks, and we are also inviting all of them to attend our special meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees on Wednesday, December 17th at 7 p.m. That'll be here in the hall, and I trust that Mr. Wise will be reaching out to each of the applicants to inform them that they're all going to be considered for this.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay. So the first step will be for all of them to attend on the 17th. Each candidate is going to be provided up to 10 minutes to present their qualifications for office. There's also an opportunity for members of the public to speak at that time. We would urge each of the candidates to allow no more than two people to speak on their behalf, if possible. I'm trying to think if we had a, I thought we had maybe 2 minutes, excuse me, I'm sorry, we had 2 minutes. Let's see here. Any Genoa Township citizen who attends on the 17th and signs the speaker sign-in sheet may have up to 2 minutes to speak in favor of or in opposition to the appointment of any of the selected candidates. And recognizing that each of the candidates will have many supporters, we would urge each candidate to limit their number of supporting speakers to one or two. Following the 17th, we will begin interviewing each of the candidates one by one. Once we have concluded that, Trustee Gebhardt and I will deliberate. And we just have no idea at this point how much time all of it's going to take. We're going to be asking the candidates what their date and time schedules look like at this point, and we'll be scheduling those meetings to begin sometime after the 17th. So that's the deal with the appointment process. It's going to be very, very interesting, but like I said, we've got some very solid candidates. My only regret is that we can only pick one, and I think we'll be in great hands no matter who is selected. Are there any other comments to come before the board at this time?
I have none.
Fine. I will make a motion then to adjourn this meeting at 10:25 p.m.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Lewis. Any discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carpagna.
Aye. Motion carries. We are now adjourned.